Welcome, everyone, to the latest in our TeachNet podcast series. Today's podcast is entitled Online Educational Publishing, and I'm delighted to be joined by Mr. Enda Donlan, lecturer, Mater Dei Institute of Education. Enda, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Michael.
Enda, before we start, you might just tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you're doing in Mater Dei.
Sure. I'm a lecturer in the School of Education in the Mater Dei Institute of Education. I'm Dublin Northside. I work in the School of Education there, and largely what I do is working with student teachers on developing ways in which they can use educational technology in their teaching and learning. Also some work with continuing professional development teachers as well. So the general area of educational technology.
Brilliant. And today we're going to be talking about online publishing. You might tell me what's your take on online publishing? What is it?
Well, online publishing really is a way in which we can use an online environment to publish web content. Sometimes it's easier to actually say what online publishing isn't rather than what it is. Before we hit online publishing, which sometimes we refer to as content management or content management systems, we had a process of publishing web content which we call static web design. Now, static web design doesn't necessarily mean that it's not vivacious and exciting. It's simply a way of describing the processes that go on. So in a nutshell, if I wanted to publish a website before content management, I would use a piece of software such as Dreamweaver or FrontPage or WebsiteX5, and that would be a piece of software that would actually be on the computer I was using. If I wanted to make five pages, I use that piece of software. I developed five pages, much the same way as five Word documents, and then I needed to transfer those pages up to a web server using a process called FTP.
Remember it well, Enda. You're bringing back nightmare scenarios to
yes.
me here. I used to teach courses on this many moons ago to teachers, and the dreaded FTP.
Yes, and the FTP tended to be where things really did start to break down. It was okay to get it running on the computer, but to actually upload it to the website tended to cause problems. So with content management, what actually happens is that essentially the software that you use to publish the web content is actually part of the website itself. So there's an administrative part of the site where you have a username and password and you log on, and you use an online editor, part of the website. You put in your text, you can upload images, embed videos, etc., hit submit, and it does all of the work for you. So it's called content management really because it allows you to focus on the content and don't worry so much about the technical things which happen in the background.
Right. So again, going back to those days, we used to do a lot of work with HTML. So obviously we've moved well beyond that, but are schools, do you find anyone using HTML anymore, or have they all just moved on to these new tools?
There is a tendency towards using the online tools, but there is still a place, I think, for kind of the static web publishing. And really, I often think it depends on what it is you're trying to do. If your focus is really just on getting the content and getting the students to work on the content online, then a content management system is a good process. But if you're focusing on, there's a difference between web design, web construction, and web publishing. Like, if you want to teach students how to actually build physical websites, there is still a place for that using the piece of software like we named earlier on.
Yes.
Web design, for instance, if you're more concerned with the aesthetics of something, there's a place for that too.
Sure.
But if content is what you actually want, if you want to enable students en masse to publish content online, then content management systems really help in that regard.
Very good. And I suppose, would it be fair to say that with the advent of Web 2 tools, we have had, there's been a kind of an explosion in these web content tools that is making it easier for people to publish online and not to worry about what was happening under the hood?
That's it. That's exactly what happened. Okay. All of the various content management systems really we could talk about are essentially Web 2 technology.
Okay.
So they're online. You log on with your web browser and your internet connection and you use them in that regard, and there's nothing physically on your computer that you need to necessarily use or worry about.
Brilliant. So tell me, what are these? Name some names here. What are the ones that are out there, and what are the ones that you particularly like yourself?
Well, there's lots of different ones. When it comes to schools, ones such as Joomla, mm-hmm. or which was Mambo before it became Joomla, would be known in schools out there. Drupal is another one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few different ones. The main one which is really making an impact in schools, I'm finding at the moment, is WordPress.
Yes.
So WordPress is an option which is very viable for a couple of different reasons. Now, when it comes to setting up a content management approach or presence, you largely have two options, and they are that you can download and install a content management system yourself on your own school website or school web server, and off you go. And there's an option for that with WordPress. But sometimes people just don't want to have all of that, and they just want to actually use an online presence itself using WordPress. And there's also an option for that. So WordPress.com is where people can go to actually just set up a WordPress site themselves, and WordPress.org, if they want to get more technical and set it up for themselves in their own school website, they can download it.
And I would have thought WordPress was a blogging tool.
Yes, well, that's interesting now, because one of the things about content management is where you start getting into what is a content management system. I normally think it's more helpful to talk about content management as an approach rather than content management as a system itself. Yes. Like, if you define a content management system as a system which has an online interface which allows you to publish content, in that regard, WordPress falls into that category.
Sure.
Now, the later version of WordPress, which is WordPress 3, within WordPress, you have two main types of content, and they are pages and posts.
Yes.
And, you know, there is a bit of crossover between them, but essentially posts are the reverse chronological date-stamped, time-stamped into the monthly categories pieces of content, which are more bloggy in nature.
Yeah.
But WordPress also has pages, and pages are much looser. Pages allow you to just set up a page that doesn't necessarily have to be date-stamped or time-stamped or go into a category like that. So, for instance, we see some schools at the moment which are using pages to put up things like literally the front webpage, which is saying, welcome to our school. They can also put up like school policies, a list of staff, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they're using the more bloggy post types to actually put up events and what's happening in the schools.
Yeah.
Now, there is, people will also use posts and pages for different reasons.
Sure. That. No, that's very interesting. And I suppose from my own experience of using WordPress, it's very easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
I presume that's one of the reasons why teachers would use it. How are they using these these CMS, these systems, and particularly in schools? How are they being used? What kinds of things are people putting up?
The kind of things we're seeing happening a lot would be, I'll give you one example. Mm-hmm. Book reviews is something that I have seen happen quite a lot. So allowing students to actually go and read books and then use an online interface to write the book review, which the other pupils in the class can see and can talk about and can comment on it. Other things which are happening a lot at the moment would be online portfolios. Actually setting up a portfolio of work which can include book reviews can be much wider than that also.
Yes.
You know, reviews of films, field trips, accounts, all that kind of thing. There's really kind of no limit to what you can do with it. It comes down to really what's happening in the class with the teacher and what they want to do with it.
Sure. And I suppose, recalling back when we had our own school website, which was static, it was written in HTML, one of the big problems was that typically one teacher was managing that process and that teacher was usually busy, and people were getting a bit annoyed because they had sent up some stuff the week before and it was still lying there, and there was a bit of a bottleneck. Is that problem done away with when you go with a CMS?
It can be. Yeah. One of the nice things about most content management systems, well, the more advanced content management systems at least, is that they have a hierarchy of rights. So you can have an administrator, and that could be the teacher you talked about, the one that traditionally would have updated everything.
Yes.
And he or she can still be the overseer of everything. But it's possible also to have different rights. So it's possible to devolve people to have different rights where, for instance, it's possible to have some people with the rights to actually write content but not publish it to the site.
Yes.
You can have a higher role which actually allows you to review that content and say, okay, that's good, let that onto the site. So it's one of the great things about content management systems is that you can devolve ownership of different parts of the website to lots of different people. And that's huge because, as you said, in school environments, when it does land in one person's, pigeonhole, it's a lot of work.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
So this is a big thing.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. And you talked there about use the term write content, right?
Mm.
And what kinds of content with the content write? Does it have to be flat content, just text, or can you do a bit, things that are a bit more fancy?
No, you can do lots with it. You can obviously, you know, the basic content is text, so you can put in that to your heart's content.
Sure.
You can also upload images. Mm-hmm. You can upload audio files, MP3 files. You can, depending on, some different content systems will handle this differently. Some of them will allow you to embed videos into it, some won't. That's just depending on the system itself. So you can really upload lots of different types of files and they can become part of your content as well.
Sure. And I presume you mentioned WordPress and you said we're on version 3 now. Mm. These are constantly being updated and taking account of new developments on the web. So that's another positive, I presume, of these tools. And you mentioned at the outset two tools that seem to me to be a little bit more high-end. Would that be fair? Joomla and Drupal.
Yes.
And how are they being used?
They would be they're more examples of just content management systems. Okay. They're not really, I've seen Joomla used in schools a bit, not so much Drupal. Hmm. Joomla I'm seeing largely just being used for school websites.
Sure.
WordPress I'm seeing being used kind of multi-purpose. You can have it as a school website, or you can have certainly part of it as a school website, but then you also, it's possible to give, as we said, ownership of different parts of the website to different class groups and different teachers, and they're using it for the more academic side of things. So that's one of the nice things, again, about WordPress.
So I'm sold on WordPress. I think that sounds like a wonderful tool, and I think it would make, it would help with getting more children and teachers and second level students publishing online. Where, if I'm somebody's listening to this now and they say, God, that really is what I'm looking for, where do they go for help?
Lots of different places. If you've actually downloaded and installed the WordPress site itself or the WordPress content management system itself, you can go to the forum and the site itself for more help.
Where do you go to get the WordPress?
WordPress.org, I think, is where you can download the actual...
Okay, WordPress.org,
yep.
Right.
If you set up one of the hosted WordPress options, WordPress.com.
Gotcha.
But the option that's also very much worth considering is the NCTE service for Skullnet Blogs.
Yes.
So the NCTE service, Skullnet Blogs is the NCTE initiative to make WordPress sites available to all of the schools in the country, basically.
Very good.
And that's one of the attractive things about that is that's a strategic rollout. So if it's in place for one school, it's in place for all schools.
Gotcha.
So that's a very good one to look at.
And with the NCTE hosted service, the Skullnet Blogs, how do you contact the NCTE or who do you contact?
There's a few different steps. In order to get a Skullnet Blog, you first need to have what's called your online name. And your online name, you need to register that. The NCTE has written, as far as I know, to all of the schools in the country. And they've given a username and password, which can be used to log into a site called onlinenames.skullnet.ie. And the purpose of online names is basically to set up your own. An online name is your subdomain.
Gotcha.
So it could be stendas.skullnet.ie. So once I've registered that, the NCTE, you need to fill in an application form. That's sent to the NCTE, that's processed, and once all of that is cleared, you get the details back on your Skullnet blog.
Brilliant. Sounds like a great service. Mm. And then I also see on the NCTE website that they are running courses.
Yes.
Do you know anything about those? What's the story with
those?
I'm
not sure. There is a course that's in place all right for that. It's a 5-hour course. I think it's a face-to-face course, and that's obviously designed to help people use the infrastructure that's there.
Brilliant. And I think if you're interested in... the Skullnet blogs. First, go to the NCTE website. You'll find all the information there under their ICT training header on the left-hand side of the website. And if you dig down, you will find there have a page on creating your school's website using Skullnet blogs. And for face-to-face training, they have a link to the local education centres. So please get blogging. I think this sounds like a wonderful tool that schools could use with their students. And Enda, I'd like to thank you for coming in and telling us about it today.
My pleasure. Thank you.